One of those things that really kind of started or catalyzed the activism around fighting the plastic waste epidemic was all the visuals that we've been seeing, right? The sea turtle with a straw up its nose was huge. I think that was probably the beginning of this movement for a lot of people. You know, we're seeing, you know, as whales with kilograms of plastic in their stomachs and all of this. And I think, like, when I've begun to see these images on the ground of how truly staggering the amount of waste that's affecting millions of people, it's hard to see. You know, communities are being built on piles of plastic. They're lighting their cook fires with plastic because it's cheaper than kerosene, right? And the health effects are tremendous.
Welcome to another episode of the How to Be Good podcast, the show where we interview businesses and specialists to explore what we can do to reduce our impact on the planet and live more sustainably. I'm Gareth.
And I'm Anka.
Today we're talking plastic, more accurately, a business that helps people and companies to become plastic neutral by offsetting what they currently use in products by pulling other plastics out from landfill and avoiding these ending up in the ocean or ecosystems, but also empowering marginalized waste workers worldwide. This company has gone from strength to strength in just a couple of years. So let's get to it. This is Noah Godfrey from Repurpose Global. Hello and welcome to the How to Be Good podcast. Thanks for joining us. And how are things over there?
Yeah, fantastic. Gareth and Anka, thank you for having me on.
I'm sorry we had the little technical glitches at the start, but it's one of those things. So can you tell me about Repurpose Global and what you guys do.
Yeah, absolutely. So Repurpose Global, we're the world's first plastic credit platform. I like to think of ourselves as an ecosystem enabler, connecting brands and consumers to vetted waste management infrastructure. Today, our like one-stop solution kind of empowers anyone to take meaningful environmental action. And although we have a few different ways that they can kind of tackle their plastic footprint, our main offering is going plastic neutral. And essentially what that is giving them the ability to offset as much plastic as they use in their unique plastic footprint by financing innovations on the front lines of fighting for our planet's future, essentially.
Very, very exciting. Has it been around long?
Yeah, so not long at all. Right about probably 2.5 years, we've really been starting to gain momentum, and it's been a wild ride. I was able to join pretty early on, and we had around, I think, 20 customers when we 20 brands on board when I joined, and now we have over 100, and now we're pulling over 2 million pounds of plastic out in the environment every year. So it's been it's been definitely a high growth experience. So it's been fantastic.
Yeah, that's fantastic. And so it seems to be growing very quickly, and the take up seems to be pretty good from what you're saying.
Yeah, we really had some incredible kind of momentum. We've had some pretty large brands come on board. We just had Grove Collaborative join us, which has been fantastic. They were, I think, they are our biggest client to date, and we have some in the pipeline that are really exciting. We actually just had Jason Momoa. I'm not sure if you're familiar, but Aquaman. They just joined, and we actually have a quote from him. It's fantastic. I can share it with you if you'd like. It's we're all very excited. We're all stoked about his quote.
so good to get someone like that involved as well. So would he also be able to be sort of an ambassador as well?
You know, I'm not sure really what kind of role he's going to be playing. I need to learn a little bit more. I just saw that he joined our brand yesterday, and
so new. Yeah.
Oh, great news.
Yeah, so that's really, I can share his quote. Here we go. He goes, "By partnering with Repurpose Global, we don't just offer an alternative, but actively remove plastic from the environment. That's impact. That's change. That's what we're a part of." So we're, really great. It feels like some Game of Thrones.
You could see him saying that, the big man that he is, would be very powerful.
That's it fantastic. Would, much more powerful than me.
It's a good job. So how did you personally get involved?
So I think I've always kind of had a unique relationship with the environment. I've been lucky to be able to, my parents have been heavily involved in like some kind of environmental activism since I was younger, and in college I was volunteering and interning for Plastic Ocean Project, and doing lots of beach sweeps and that kind of thing. And I've been heavily involved with the ocean forever. My dad's a surfer, I'm a surfer, so it's kind of in our blood to try to protect the environment. So yeah, I started entering the startup space and I saw Repurpose and what they were doing, and yeah, now it's kind of the rest is history.
It's a fun road to be in there early on at the start when things are able to move and have such agility as well in a business.
Oh, it's exhausting.
I guess that's true too.
We love it. It's fantastic. But you know, we definitely work hard, but we love what we do. So it's not hard work.
As you said before, the strap line that I've read is Repurpose Global, the world's first plastic credit platform. So could you give us a bit of more of an insight about how that works? I mean, for somebody like me, not involved and everything else, I kind of assume it's something similar in terms of setup to carbon offset. Is that the case?
Yeah, entirely. A really similar ideology to carbon credits. We're putting a price on the recovery of plastic. So I'm sure you've seen the shocking recycling statistics. The UN just came out. Only 9% of all plastic ever produced has been recycled. You know, in combination with the plummeting price of petroleum, our system just isn't designed to enable recycling on an effective level at the moment. So I think that's kind of where plastic credits come into play. We subsidize the price of plastic recovery, and kind of in the process giving socioeconomic benefits to the waste workers in these areas that are affected, and you know, helping with other interventions. So it's very similar to carbon credits, but it's more transparent in the way that we can clearly define how much plastic we've removed. And instead of with carbon, it's you know, we're adding cook stoves that are, you know, reducing burning wood or whatever. It's a little more tangible.
Yeah.
So looking at your website, there are two sides of the business, the business side and the consumer side. Can you give us an insight on both sides and how do they work?
I think overall we allow both consumers and businesses, brands, to offset their plastic footprint with us. So in that way, they're very similar, but I think the call to actions are different. So on the consumer side, it's actually an interesting duality, because on the consumer side, we're helping them, kind of giving them the education to spread the word for everyone to reduce their plastic footprint, especially corporations. You know, we're pushing them to the brands they're buying from to say, hey, like, I want to see some more environmental action from you. And then, you know, if they decide to go to tackle their plastic footprint, these brands, we give them the option to, or the, you know, we give them the tools necessary to help reduce their plastic footprint and then compensate for it.
Yeah.
So your initial startup is advising them on how to reduce their plastic use and providing them with information on products and so on that use less plastic?
Yeah, so the first thing we do is we of course, right, as Anka, you mentioned, you measured your plastic footprint. So that's the first piece of the equation, is we help them measure their plastic footprint, and then we help them, we look in their supply chain and we see, okay, what can be reduced, where can we make changes, and then we help them set different goals, right, short-term and long-term, to, you know, over the next hopefully 5 years, really to reduce a lot of their plastic. So that's kind of our goal in general to begin with, and I think it should be everyone in the offsetting community's goal to reduce as much plastic from the get-go before we actually implement plastic credit.
Just wanted to say for our listeners as well, the section that Anka's talking about is where you can assess your own level of plastics and what that would then be to offset the impact of that. And that's something that's on your website that everyone can go and take part on and potentially be shocked at into doing some action that they need to. And we'll put a link to that as well.
With regards to the plastic use, is that a 5-year plan with every single company that comes in as a customer? Or do you actually just work throughout the period of collaboration and that's all? How does that work? Is there a set time for that?
Yeah, I think it's pretty specifically tailored to every company. I think my 5-year plan was just more of like a generalization. Everything really is pretty specific. I would definitely be remiss in saying a 5-year plan was for everyone, because, you know, I think we all know that that unfortunately plastics are more efficient in a lot of ways at the moment. If we were to change all of our shipping materials to, let's say, cardboard or wood, you know, the carbon like environmental externality would be way higher than plastic. So it's kind of a double-edged sword in the way that plastic is kind of a necessity at the moment.
The plastic that you recycle and you pull out of the ecosystem is not based in the States. Yes, you have other projects throughout the world to recycle the plastic and reuse.
Yeah, so we're currently in 11 different countries globally, from Nairobi to Goa, and kind of most of them have a unique way of creating, you know, socioeconomic and environmental impact.
Okay. How about the companies, let's say a company in the States, you're going through the process, they engage you to reduce their plastics, they reduce their plastics to a certain point. What happens with the plastic that they use back home? Do you have a system set up for that as well, or that's just part of the general plastic reuse and recycle governed by each state?
Yeah, so part of our kind of measurement process is to calculate not only the amount of plastic in their supply chain and products, but what they use in their business. That's not really speaking to what they're using at home. That might be a little more too much oversight.
It's a business.
But yeah.
We've been trying to reduce our plastic for quite some time, and it's quite difficult. It's everywhere. It really is everywhere. You forget how much you actually use on a day-to-day basis.
It is. It is.
It's scary. Can you tell us, with the plastic recycled, how do you recycle it, and what products do you transform this plastic into?
Yeah. As
we know, they're doing a lot of plastic bricks now for construction, plastic that's not recyclable. There's a lot of products out there. What products do you use it for?
Sure, yeah. Definitely, we have a lot of different interventions at the moment. I think my favorite one is in Indonesia. It's called ARB. And what they essentially do is a co-op. So it's a group of individuals that are all kind of like in a group together. And they turn that the low-value plastic that is being collected into building materials, and they're building houses for other members of the co-op. And it just feels really holistic and circular to me. And it's you know, it's one of the projects that it just always catches my eye. I love to discuss it because it's such a good idea.
Well, that's great. It helps people on so many different levels then. It's very multifaceted.
And I think it is kind of the concept behind the circular economy, right? It's just like we're creating something that hopefully will be around for a very long time and will, you know, help protect people from the elements. Like, it's, you know, and I think another one, I think actually, like, the way forward that really will make an insane amount of change in the future are using, like, what do we call it? They're not avoidance, innovation credits.
Mm-hmm.
So these innovation credits are given to companies. I have a great example. Sathi Pads is a company that we're working with. They are they create feminine hygiene pads, and they're all bamboo, completely organic. And for every we subsidize for every product that they sell, they give one away for free with our subsidy. So that's, you know, not only pulling plastic out of the environment, but they're, you know, educating people on, like, the importance of hygiene and all these good things that are happening. So I think these kind of things, creating plastic alternatives, is really going to, like, be pushing the market forward.
I was going to ask more about the projects, but you've given us a good summary of those. And is there one that's, apart from the one in Nairobi, is that your favorite one? Is that the one that you've really sort of connected with at this stage, or is there others?
You know, I think that's my favorite at the moment. I've spoken to Daniel. He's the CEO of one of our projects called Taka Taka. And just speaking to him about the power of what we've been enabling his company to do has really been tremendous. Just listening to him hear about what he's been able to do with the funding from plastic credits, you know, expanding his infrastructure, bringing on more people, right, bringing in general managers who really make sure that the waste workers are, like, treated properly. And it's just like, I think when we formalize the sector further, we're just going to continue to see, like, you know, the plastic waste battle to kind of where we're going to start to win, I think.
Yeah. I definitely we'll come on to sort of the formalization of the sector, certainly a little later. Understanding sort of the recycling side and the offset side, is there also a way that your company works with the other companies then to reduce the virgin plastics as well? So teaching, educating, and giving options or even cross-collaboration with other companies about then going into a stage of not using virgin plastics, reusing a recycled or even non-plastic packaging options. Is that an education piece that you work with?
Yeah, so actually this is really exciting, but we have created a we've been really instrumental in helping create a standard right now for the plastic credit community, and it's actually launching in 5 days.
Okay, so, exciting.
Yeah, it is exciting.
You'll have to send us the details so that we can add that to our stuff as well, so we can send that out so people understand it a bit more.
Oh, absolutely, absolutely. So essentially the company that's creating it is called Vera, and we've been a contributor to their plastic credit standard. And essentially what it is, it's laying out a guideline, guidelines for the industry. And it's really kind of helping brands catalyze on their claims, right? Turn their claims into action, I think is really the kind of idea behind it. And it's also, right, giving the, you know, sector formalization and then, you know, making sure that there are steps to reduce plastic in the, you know, in the beginning of the plastic credit kind of engagement.
And is that sort of the reduction and education piece and understanding how to reduce, is that part of your process, or is it almost mandatory as part of joining and being part of Repurpose Global?
So it's something that we've played with a lot. I think we've really wanted to make it a mandatory piece, but there's some companies who are just, they're in a situation where a lot of, especially food service, that they can't really get away from plastics at the moment. And the plastic alternatives just aren't really able to handle the food safety and you know, long-term storage. So in those situations, we can't mandate them, you know, specifically, because then we'd probably lose them as clients because they wouldn't actually be able to fulfill. But I do think, you know, we check in with them on, I don't actually remember the basis, a quarterly basis perhaps, something like that. Don't quote me on it. But and just to see what types of alternatives we share, the alternatives that we're, you know, we work closely in the ecosystem with a lot of players. So we know we can share new ideas and collaborate. So I think that it's a big piece. We would love to mandate it in the future, but I think at the moment we're still kind of playing with the idea.
No, I can completely understand with that. I mean, it's such an early phase of using alternative plastics or even plant-based plastics for anything to do with food that we're just not quite there yet. It's hopefully it won't be long, but you know, it's a very new process at this stage.
Yeah.
How are you seeing the company's response to the options that Repurpose Global offer? Your initial stages when you're discussing your services with new companies, how are they reacting to it? Is it quite an excitement to get on board? Are they unsure?
Well, I think what's kind of exciting about the ecosystem that we're currently in with our brands is that they have a sustainability ambition already. So whenever we're discussing it, they're always very excited to expand if it's another certification or if it's their first certification. They have already have taken some steps towards sustainability. I think we see a lot of excitement and also like the ability for them to either put the plastic neutral logo on their packaging, or, you know, we put out some press releases and that kind of thing. I think like the buzz around it is very exciting for them. So we haven't seen too much hesitation at the moment. So.
Let's talk about legislation or incentives. Do you see any incentives for the companies in the States to become plastic neutral? Or do you believe that will be something that will happen soon?
So I can really only speak to the States on this. And I know with the new administration, it looks like, you know, the new administration is pushing for a lot of environmental changes, which is fantastic.
I think the world is happy.
I think so too. I know we all are.
It's a comforting step change, isn't it?
Yeah, I think we've all breathed a little sigh of relief.
Absolutely, just a little. I think the whole planet breathed it. I really do.
It's honestly so nice just having my news feed just be boring. But
absolutely, yeah. It was a long run, wasn't it?
Oh wow, it was. It was exhausting. I think what's an exciting piece is EPR. an extended produce responsibility. Essentially, it's kind of government regulated plastic credits is kind of a good way to think about it. Yeah, I'm not really sure how it's all going to come together. I think that there are going to be some interesting developments, and it's going to be exciting to watch happen. But I think that legislation is coming soon, and it's coming. Yeah, we need to prepare for it.
Yeah, and I think it'll be great. Invariably, as we're here in Australia, and you're in the States there, I think Australia has quite a strong tendency to look to what the States does and then act on that. So we're very happy, that Biden's in and making change, because that will convince our government hopefully to do the same, and they will get off their hands and do something. But again, the same with legislation, with plastics and things like that. It'll be great to see what Biden and his team put together.
Yeah, really looking forward to it, honestly. It's much needed, and hopefully it'll come soon.
What about your long-term plan? What do you want to achieve?
I will say our leadership is pushing hard to grow as quickly as possible and to just continue to expand the environmental impact, or should I say planetary impact, that we're able to create. There's some things that I'm maybe not allowed to say yet, but I will say that there are a lot of exciting things in store in the future, and we are, you know, hopefully not going to just stop at plastics. Hopefully we're going to be continuing across the board to really see how to bring, you know, corporate dollars to on the ground initiatives. So yeah, that's
I mean, just by the number of jobs on your job board at the moment on your website, I was thinking, wow, they're looking to move and move very quickly. So it was, I think I probably counted 25 or so on there. Just the other day, which is great, because we get a lot of people saying, oh, no, the environment's this, we're going to lose these jobs. Actually, it's not. We're just shifting jobs. Jobs are going from one sector to another sector. And sooner we get more and more people opening their eyes to that, then it'll actually move quicker and get greater momentum.
Yeah, no, I think that's a fantastic point. Unfortunately, like, there are some industries like coal are going to become obsolete. But then again, you know, it's not, they're definitely not going to be losing these jobs. Like, as you mentioned, we have 25 jobs on our job board, and I think we onboarded 7 people last month. Like, it's been wild. So, in the industry overall, there were 2 or 3 companies when I joined, and now we have over 20 competitors. So, you know, good and bad.
Yeah, it's both exciting because it means it's moving in the right direction. As a company owner, it keeps you on your toes because you've got to be that step ahead. So there's always that tension. But I think it's good that it's happening. And I obviously, you guys being, I think you were one of the first. I think they'll look to you as which direction you go, which unfortunately kind of makes it easier for the followers than the people taking the first step. There you go.
True. And you know, I'm sure we've had missteps along the way, and it is really hard to hit all the buckets necessary to really set the example. We're trying very hard for sure, but I think this Vera standard will be a really great way to standardize the sector. And also, we're pushing out our own plastic neutral standard probably within a month of their launch. So really making sure that everyone knows our role, how we, you know, promote transparency, and just to kind of make sure that other people can follow in our footsteps.
Yeah.
Are you looking at other products apart from plastic waste? Are you looking at other waste that you can work with and develop?
I think that's probably speaking towards the long-term goal. I've possibly heard rumors of it. I don't know if they would be super stoked about me telling about their, you know, kind of their long-term plans, but I do hope that we can kind of extend the impact of what we're able to do. So yeah, hopefully.
On more of a personal side for you, understanding the level of plastics and most especially microplastics that are absolutely everywhere now, and you know, they're into bottled water and everything like that. What is it that keeps you up at night?
That's a good question. I think One of those things that really kind of started or catalyzed the activism around fighting the plastic waste epidemic was all the visuals that we've been seeing, right? The sea turtle with its with a straw up its nose was huge. I think that was probably the beginning of this movement for a lot of people. You know, we're seeing, you know, as whales with kilograms of plastic in their stomachs and all of this. And I think, like, when I've begun to see these images on the ground of how truly staggering the amount of waste that's affecting millions of people, it's hard to see. You know, communities are being built on piles of plastic. They're lighting their cook fires with plastic because it's cheaper than kerosene, right? And the health effects are tremendous. They're getting just wild lung diseases, and it's just you know, I'm so far removed from the issue, and it's scary to know that the trash that I am throwing away could be affecting somebody's life in such a terrible way. So it's scary, right? But I don't know if it keeps me up at night, but I think about it often.
I completely understand. And I guess with your pending move, are you going to be able to see the places that are working with the plastics there on the ground and actually see it firsthand, the people that are collecting it, but also the people that are having to deal with many other countries' waste, basically?
So moving to Goa, India in a week now, and I just learned a stat a few days ago that they actually, everyone burns their trash at 6 p.m., I believe. So it's going to be a wildly different experience. We have two impact projects in Goa, so I'm looking forward to being able to see what those are like and how kind of the sector is being formalized in that way. But, you know, I think we're looking to create like an actual collection system in Goa soon. So, because, you know, we've seen this on the ground. It's crazy that we're like, we should, you know, clearly shouldn't be doing this. So we've been trying to create a system to actually collect all this waste. So that's exciting. But yeah, I'm really looking forward to seeing what it's like. And
it would be great when you get there to perhaps almost video blog the changes. So you've got from where you are in the States now to going over to Goa and showing everybody, like ourselves here, we sit in a pretty comfortable lifestyle, and we're not realizing, and a lot of us haven't realized, where all of our recycling has been going for so long and everything else. So it'd be great to sort of see it firsthand. These are the people that have been affected by our waste for so long, and now this is something that's going to be done about it. And I think that would be great to see.
But
I'll leave that to you.
I agree. I'm looking forward to seeing the comparison, and I know that we're all very privileged, and I'm starting to, like, every day the perspective changes, and it's I think just the kind of, that's the first step of, like, understanding that we have it great, and that that our waste affects other people. And I think that's a good way to take a first step.
Absolutely.
So one final question. If there is one thing that we can change that can have a massive impact on the health of our planet, what would that be? How can we be good?
Yeah, I think that what's exciting is there is the possibility. It's not too late to make a change. We can all make an impact, and we can all be good. It all starts by taking the step to learn more. First, right, you can calculate your plastic footprint. It's a great way, I think, to begin the process. And then we can give you steps to help reduce, or you can just internally kind of audit yourself and see, oh, wow, like I'm using this milk jug every week. Maybe I can switch to glass, or maybe there's another solution. And what's exciting is our calculator has over 12,000 responses at the moment. And one of the projects I was working on is to understand that data on a little bit of, like, more of a granular level. And one of the more amazing statistics that we were able to pull out of it is that living sustainably is addictive. People want to continue. Once you make one step, you want to keep going. And I think it's just about bringing that reusable bag to the grocery store to initiate the cycle. You know, when you want to be good, all it takes is just one step, and to break the inertia, and we can seriously fight this plastic problem.
So thank you very, very much for joining us. It's been a delight to speak to you, and I would very much like to try and keep in touch, and also to be able to sort of perhaps catch up again in the future, because I feel there's an ongoing story here. There's an ongoing story of not just Repurpose Global, but perhaps yourself, now that we know that you're off to Goa as well, that I think would be fantastic if we could catch up again in the future and see how things are going and progressing, if you'd be up for that.
Oh, absolutely. Yeah, I'm very much looking forward to the paradigm shift, and I would love to come back and talk to you about it. It's been a pleasure. So Gareth Danaka, thank you for having me on.
Thanks again, Noah, for being on our show. It's been great to learn about Repurpose Global and to meet you. Good luck in your new adventure in India, and look forward to following up in the next few months to see how you're going. To all of you, please go to Repurpose Global webpage and calculate your plastic footprint. I had a shock, and I've been trying to reduce my plastic for quite some time. To really get your head around the scale of our plastic issue, please, please watch A Plastic Ocean, directed by Craig Leeson.
As usual, we'll put all the details on the show notes. Don't forget to subscribe and rate the podcast. Follow us on Facebook and Instagram, where we also share other bits of information. And get involved in our How to Be Good podcasts. On our website, www.howtobegood.com.au, we also have a voicemail feature. So if you want to leave us a message, have ideas or other topics or questions, leave us a message. You may even be featured on the show. Until next time, stay safe. Bye-bye.
Stay safe, everyone. Bye.